All right, welcome to Generational Talent. This is week 12 of the NFL. We're going to be giving you guys our top 10 takeaways, our betting odds and favorites, as well as our week 13 power rankings. But I am your host, Tommy Crowder, with my father.
I'm Travis. Nice to meet everybody.
And so we are going to give you, first and foremost, our Generational Talent top 10 takeaways. And of course, Dad, if I missed anything, you just go ahead and fill us in at the end.
You got it.
So starting with number 10, we've got, we had some boring games. We had some good games. We had some boring games too. One of the boring games, the Rams absolutely demolishing the Buccaneers. Baker injured, which was sad. And then people realized that Teddy Bridgewater should probably stick to coaching high school sports.
Yeah, he definitely has changed his appearance too. I didn't even recognize him there for a second. It took a little bit. But yeah, the other part of that too, I'm sorry. I looked at the next handful of opponents for the Rams. I'll be shocked if Stafford, if he stays healthy, doesn't win MVP.
Yeah, no, and it's one of those things, too. The Bucs, obviously, strong start, but they have had a rough rough November.
Yeah.
And, you know, Baker's given it his all. He's limited on weapons. It's a lot like what we're seeing with Josh Allen, where these quarterbacks can do a lot, but if they don't even have anything to work with, there's really nothing they can do.
I did see that Godwin came back. So hopefully that, you know, I don't know if he's still at, you know, the same caliber he was when he got injured.
Is Baker even going to be playing next week?
Yeah. I read a quick little headline that said that they got encouraging news that Tampa Bay did. So maybe nothing that would be, you know, have him to the IR or nothing. Cause you're right. Bridgewater's not going to do it.
No. Number nine, I've got the Bills team, looking hard to watch again. Texans absolutely just demolished them defensively, which Texans have the best defense.
That game, man, would they sack him 8 times? That was insane.
It was like 7 or 8 times. He couldn't do anything. Again, not much to work with for him.
Yeah.
I do have another Bills.
And his receivers.
Yeah, I have a Bills moment from that game that is my number one takeaway, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
Number, what would that be? 8. We've got the Patriots with a very close game that didn't make much sense. So this is really just an anger point for me because if you remember, my bet last week was for Patriots to win by 8.5.
I got to look at my
name. Yeah. And so I'm sitting there. I'm looking at, we got a Bengals team with.
Mom bet on them, too. She was sure that they were going to do it.
I was livid. Mm-hmm. You got a notoriously bad defense. You've got no Joe Burrow, no Jamar Chase, and Higgins goes out mid-game, and you're telling me we could only beat them by 6? Like, fraud. You know, all this talk, Drake May next, Tom Brady, fraud. Absolute garbage. Patriots suck. I hate them all.
Wow. You're a little worked up on that one. Yeah. No, that one cost Mom, too. I thought that was a sure pick, and it didn't work out that way.
No. Dallas beating the Eagles, which for those of you who listened last week, you know that one of my hot takes was for the Eagles to win by 8. Trav's hot take was for Dallas to win. And so, yes, you got that one because the Dallas Cowboys, they came back. It was a game of
21
two
down. They were down 21 and came back. Dallas, to me, they're an interesting team. I definitely do not feel like they're going to go deep into anything, but could they be an upset maker? Could they be, you know, get themselves back in it like Baltimore did? I think so. I mean, because I'll tell you one thing, that trade's not looking all that crazy in the sense that the defense got a lot better when they got Kenny Clark over there. Not that he's better than Micah Parsons, but statistically, you look at those two, they're not that far apart, number one. The pickup of George Pickens turned out to be a brilliant pickup for them.
He looked great, much better. I saw a stat that was showing that he has more receiving yards than all of the Steelers' receivers put together.
Correct. And so, you know, I'm not going to say the Cowboys are going deep, but I think they could pull a Ravens move here and climb back into this race.
Most definitely. I think they could.
Yeah.
What would this be? My number 6. We've got Geno Smith is so bad. It's honestly funny. He was sacked 10 times in that game against the Browns.
I would say Geno and that team. It's not just him. That team. I mean, there's good players, but I mean, in terms of collectively playing good ball, because that offensive line is garbage.
I don't know if you saw the clip. I saw it yesterday where it was right after Ashton Jeanty scored a touchdown. You know, nobody celebrates. Jeanty just walks to the sideline. Geno refuses to high-five Pete Carroll on his way back. I was like, bud.
Geno got all kinds of cameras that picked him up flipping off the fans.
Yep, saw that one.
You know, so, you know, I look at it like this. Geno had a story, right? I don't want to say Cinderella story. That would be goofy. But a story that came to fruition with him there for a couple of seasons in Seattle. But I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, and he had a good point. He goes, you know what doesn't make sense is Geno, Lockett, Jamal Adams, and Pete Carroll. It didn't work in Seattle. that's why they made all the moves they made. So mm-hmm. why did they think it would make it in Seattle or in Vegas? I don't know. You know, I love Pete, but here's what I would say about that whole team. And we'll move on to your next one on your list. At the end of the day, I think all these people peaked earlier in their careers. Every one of them did, including the coach. You're now getting every one of them on the downside. And so, you know, had you picked these guys all up 3 or 4 years ago, it might have been a different story.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, no, it went from everybody, you know, the famous line by Geno Smith of, you know, wrote me off and I didn't write back. I think what he actually meant to say was I'm illiterate and can't write back because that's what we're seeing here. Yeah. Also, I loved his post-game interview last week of the whole blame Geno, blame me. And I'm like, dude, shut up. Like, you're actually bad though, too. Like, yes, it's not just your fault, but you're still a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't say it's all his fault, but he is a huge part of the problem because, you know, even though you don't have a line and you're still the one making bad throws. It's kind of like what happened with Sam Darnold that day. He owned it, right? Yeah. When he threw those picks, well, it was your fault. Even though the line wasn't doing great, you kept throwing poor passes
too.
Double
coverage.
Mm-hmm. So that ultimately is your fault. Even if your line's not doing great, you still have the ball.
Yeah. Number five, 49ers Juwan Jennings getting punched in the balls by that Panthers player. what a funny clip. But yeah, no, definitely suspend the guy, but what a funny clip.
And what a... I won't say the word because I don't want to get in trouble, but B move, right? Like, because when they get and they showed it up close, what guy does that? Guys don't do that to other dudes, man. That is like the stupidest thing. Guys do not do that to other dudes. You know, you all have your little jokes where you'll slap and, you know, you guys did as teenagers all the time. But in terms of as a on the field.
And that was a close fist, like full-blown punch to the gonads.
Yep, that, and what a B move, man. And so it looks like, you know, but the league immediately suspended that dude. And so one thing about the NFL, they do a great job, you know, policing themselves because they get on that stuff quick. Jamar Chase is an example we talked about last time. They suspended him immediately. What did he say? I was stupid. I shouldn't have done it. And bad move. And yeah.
And then Jalen Carter at the first game of the season.
Correct.
A lot of trash players right now. No,
and the league jumps on him immediately, which kudos to them because that doesn't happen in the NBA and those other places. They drag it out and it's appeals and they can play forever. And it's like, oh God.
Number four here, the Colts crap in the bed against the Chiefs. Another game, much like the Eagles game, where it's a tale of two halves.
Yeah.
The Colts definitely had the first half. They looked good. I felt pretty good going into halftime. And then the Chiefs did what the Chiefs do, and they played a better second half.
Yeah, the Chiefs, like we talked about, I think the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Cowboys, the Bills, they're all in that category of who knows what's going to happen with that team. But if you give them a space or you give them an inch, they're going to get you. And I like the Colts too. I will say I still like them, but you had a point over the weekend. We gathered with you with the family for Thanksgiving this past weekend. But you had a point when you were saying now that people that are questioning their legitimacy are going to be all over the place. And you do see it. It's happening.
It's unfortunate because when the Colts, I would say when you look at the Colts, Patriots, and Bears, those are three teams with super good records. But when you dive into the records, they're not beating very hard teams. That's not to say that they're all frauds, but their arguments aren't there. So they need to win these kinds of games to show that they're not frauds. And then when they crap the bed, it's like, well, shoot, what do we have to fall back on? Because the only other big team that you guys beat was the Broncos. And you beat them on a leverage call at the very end. So it's not like people are really giving you much.
To me, which was I hate that call. I get that, you know, there's things about, you know, leverage and then touching the center and stuff in those kickoffs, but it's weak.
It's a dumb way to win a game.
It is lame. Yeah.
Number three, Jameis Winston. Super fun to watch, even though he sucks, but he's super fun to watch.
I like him.
I tell you what, I think, you know, I've seen a lot of people have different takes on, you know, what Jameis should do next year. I think every NFL team should be forced to play one game with Jameis Winston as their quarterback just because he is so much fun.
He's, you know who he's like in the exact same kind of backup role back in his day? Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, they're God. Fun. And everybody loves Fitzmagic.
Yeah, Fitzmagic, man. He's fun. I mean, he's a goofball, never going to take a team anywhere, but he can throw 3,000 to 4,000 yards, and he'll win you some games, and he can put up some numbers. He's just a knucklehead.
Yeah, top receiver and quarterback for that team last week. So good for him, huh?
Yeah.
Number two, and I know he didn't actually say it, folks, but gosh dang, if the memes that haven't come out of Tom Brady's N-word thing haven't been hilarious.
Oh, I have not seen this.
Oh, okay. I will show you on the break. Okay. So he misspoke. but he was talking about Landon Dickerson, but he said Landon Nickerson. Okay. But then he also made the mistake of stopping after the Nicker part. And so people were like, what in the world? But it was very clear. He just had misspoke. He had just changed the first letter. And nobody's actually going to like fire him or do anything about it. But holy crap. As you can imagine, Instagram, I'm sure TikTok as well, went nuts with it. And there's all these like AI generated images of Tom Brady being a black guy now. And it's so funny watching what people do, which is the slightest slip of the tongue.
Yeah.
And what? You got to give the guy credit. Like, we're lucky here, right? If we have a slip up, not like that kind of slip up, but if we accidentally say the F word, well, we can just stop, edit, and keep going. You're live. So you've got to be very cautious.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, my number one, and I was really hoping to write a different one here. So when it happened, I wrote Bills crazy 4th-and-27 play to stay in the game. This was that lateral play that they had right at the end.
It was great.
And originally I wrote
out beautifully
to win the game.
Oh.
And I just kept watching. I'm like, I'm going to have to change this to stay in the game instead of win the game because they're not going to be able to capitalize on
four
this.
Four plays later. Yeah.
It was a bummer because had they been able to capitalize on that play, people would have been talking Josh Allen MVP again.
And the biggest the biggest thing there was the false start on the 4th-and-1 to 4th-and-6. It's like, then you knew it. You're like, you just – because 4th-and-1, not that it's a guarantee, but there's so many plays in the playbook that can get it for you. 4th-and-6, especially with that defense. I mean, the fact that they – he only had – the thing with Josh Allen, in that game, when you're pressured that much, you've got to get the throws out fast. And he's not good at that. Fast. And that guy's, he's good at letting plays develop. And you couldn't with that pressure.
And you've got no receivers that are going to be able to quickly get to where you need them to be.
Shakir's your best guy that game. And he's a C or B on everybody's team.
And that's the thing, too. When everybody knows Shakir's your one guy and you've got a defense like the Texans, cool. Double cover him. And what else are you going to do, Josh?
Right. And you're going to have two seconds to throw to him, too, by the way.
Yeah. No, it was a disappointing loss for the Bills. I was so hoping that would have been the play to turn it around and give them the win, too. I was very stoked.
I thought they were going to win after that, too. I'm like, this is destiny. And then four plays later, blank.
Yep. Couldn't make it work. Anything I missed there, Dan?
No, I think the one thing I wanted you to cover, and you got it, was the punch, because I'm like, that was a total crappy move.
I'd have to look it up here. There was a player who was tackled on Sunday, I think by his gentleman parts.
Oh, okay.
And I swear.
Jeez. I suppose you're grabbing for anything when you want to take down somebody. I suppose you can do that. Yikes. That's bad.
The only one that's popping up is this Vernon Davis tackle that happened years and years ago. But I was watching some sports recaps video. I watch a YouTube channel called That's Good Sports. Brandon Perna does it. And he does, every week he does the winners and losers, and he kind of breaks down each game and everything like that, which is always fun. It was an Eagles player. Wait, hold on here.
Nope, but you got it. Vernon Davis, by the way, been to our Boys and Girls Club. He was one of our keynote speakers.
Oh, was he really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. So it was an Eagles player tackling George Pickens. Yeah, George Pickens got yanked down by his dong.
Poor guy.
Yeah, and when you watch
every dude right now is going,
when you watch the clip, that man has a full grab and yanks him down. Yeah. God, that would probably be the worst. Like, pull me by the hair before you freaking grab me there, but taking me down.
That's what makes everybody so cringy on being a wrestler. I give those wrestlers credit, because they grab and pull and yank everything under the sun.
Give them the old five fingers on two testicles. Squeeze them.
No, thank you. Painful.
But all right, so that's it for the Generational Talent Top 10 Takeaways. Stick with us. In segment two, we talk about our betting odds and favorites, and we'll go over last week's bets and how disappointing that was. All right, bye. All right, everybody, we are in segment two of Generational Talent, where we're talking betting. Now, before we get into this week's bets, we always talk about how we did last week.
Yes, sir.
So, Dad, you wanted to start us off with your three-way that you did.
So, on my three-way, my first one, I picked Detroit and the Giants to go over 50, and they did. Scored 60-something points when it was all said and done. So, I did get that one.
All right.
They scored, for the record, 61 total. Helps when you go into overtime.
So, I had two L's and a win, but my first L would have been, like I said before, the Patriots winning by at least 8.5. Nope, they're cowards, and Drake May's a sissy, and they only won by 6.
They won by 6. I went 2-1, so my one loss would be my very own team. Seahawks, I picked them to be 13.5, and what they did is they cruise controlled it because they could have. They got a big lead and they let up. And they only won by 7 or 6. And so it, unfortunately, I did lose that one. They did not cover. They won by 6.
My second one, which was an L, was the Bucks plus 6.5. They definitely lost by more than 6.5.
Yeah. My second win went really good for me. It was the Packers. I took the Packers over Minnesota by 6.5, and the Packers won by, 17.
Yeah, my only win was the Jets plus 13.5 because they only lost by, I think, 12.
So. They were right there. They were right there.
Actually, they might have lost by 13. I think I've it was like them. I literally did it by I think I did it by a half.
I can do that one for you. The Jets, let me see, son. They lost by 13.
Yeah, so yeah. That was a close
you
one.
You did it by a half.
I remember thinking, and I thought when I put the bet down, it was 12.5. So when they kicked the field goal, I'm like, oh my God, I lost that one too. And then I look like, oh no, I'm still in this. And then of course the Patriots went and did what they did. So
they did. My hot take of the week was Dallas beating Philly. They were 3-point underdogs and they won. They did beat them 24-21. They went the opposite way.
Yeah, both my hot takes were garbage. I had the Eagles winning by 8. The Eagles suck. And it helps, though, because I never have them super high in my power ranking, so I feel a little vindicated on that. And then I had the Colts winning by 4.5. But again, Daniel Jones accidentally crapped himself on the field from the looks of it. So,
well, that I'll take it as a good week. 2-1, and I got the hot take, so we'll see. Yes. The hot take, though, my team just, or my regular bet, my team let me down. All right, here we go. These are per William Hill, our sports book. This is where we get our numbers and ready to dive in. We got Thanksgiving tomorrow, and as we're recording on a Wednesday. So anyways, we had three games on Thanksgiving. The first one in the morning being the best one, I think, of the whole day. And that's the Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. Detroit is a 2.5-point favorite. 48 is the over-under.
Yeah, I would go Detroit. I wouldn't bet on it just because, again, you don't quite know which Packers team you're going to get, but I feel like Detroit's got that.
I will circle back to this game. The next one up, this is the midday. So this would be while Tommy's diving into his turkey and eating a bite, he's going to be watching the Kansas City Chiefs at the Dallas Cowboys. Another good game. Kansas City's a 3-point favorite.
I want to see Dallas win this. I really, really, really do. And I don't like either team, but I hate the Chiefs more. Mm-hmm. You said, who is the favorite?
Kansas City is on the road, -3.
Nah, man, give me Dallas. Dallas, I like them even having that spread in their favor. So
I'm circling back to that game as well. And the evening game. So this will be when Tommy's got his feet up. He's, just coming off of a nap. He's diving into some, in his case, I know he'd be doing like chocolate cream pie.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the Baltimore Ravens at home against the Cincinnati Bengals, and they're a 7-point favorite. The over-under, 51.5, by the way. The Dallas game, 52.5 is the over-under in that game.
Yeah, this one is hard to say because, normally I would say easily the Ravens, but then the Bengals, their defense looked good last week, which makes zero sense to me. Yeah. But I probably would just go with the Ravens.
I probably would go with the Ravens on this one, too. I'm going to say it. I'm going to keep saying it until they prove me wrong. I think the Ravens are going to be on a roll, and they are in first place now in their division. Look at that, 6-5. They took over Pittsburgh. All right, next up, we get into Friday. We have a, what do you want to call it? Black Friday game. I love it, Tommy. And it's not a horrible one. The Bears at Philadelphia, -7, Philadelphia, over under 44.5.
Yeah, this is a big one, I think, for the Bears for sure, because this is your fraud alert game.
There we go.
This is your big one.
Are you real? I don't know that I'd want to be facing Philly, too, on the heels of that Dallas one. I'm going to tell you that right now. The fact they lost like they did, I think Philly's going to smoke them.
And what was the?
7.
In Philly's favor?
Yep. Philly.
Give me the Bears.
You like the... Okay, we're opposite. Generations. There's the father-son difference right here.
Jalen Hurts, not that good. AJ Brown, big sissy la-la.
So that's where you're going. I'm going with the notion they just got, demoralized in Dallas. They're going to take it out of their next opponent, and that's the Bears. Here they come. Uh-huh. Next up, Sunday. Now we're talking Sunday morning games. Here we go. The 49ers in Cleveland. 49ers are a 4.5-point favorite. The over-under on this game... 36.5, and is that the lowest of the weekend there, kiddo? I believe it is. That's the lowest. This is the lowest point spread of the weekend.
Which one was it? I'm sorry.
The Niners and the Cleveland Browns, 36.5, and the Niners are a 4.5-point favorite in Cleveland.
Give me the Browns.
I'm circling back to this one.
Okay.
We have the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is the game that boring, but Jacksonville's playing better, I guess, but yeah, Jacksonville's
a weird team.
-6.5 in Tennessee. And over under is 41.5.
Give me Jacksonville. Tennessee just hasn't done anything. They've done, people are saying, I've had a couple people text me, oh, that was a pretty close game with the Hawks and the Titans. Well, then you weren't watching it because they only did things in garbage time when it was very clear our team was just done playing.
And a punt return.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I think Jacksonville will get them. The New Orleans Saints, they're at Boy, this game's a bit. New Orleans Saints at the Miami Dolphins. Miami's a -6 point favorite, over under 41.5.
The Dolphins. I mean, again, that's a, like you said, that's a boring game. Yeah. These are two, you know, like I said on the pod last week for my boy Nick, Dolphins definitely do have a chance playoff wise right now. It is slim.
Yeah, they got
to
win all the way.
Because in reality, the only one eliminated right now is the Giants. And so anybody's got a chance, but yeah, I mean,
Road ahead of them.
If either of these teams was to make it to the playoffs, then something really went wrong in their divisions.
Right. I would agree. I think Miami is going to smoke them. Arizona Cardinals at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's a morning game. Tampa Bay is a 3-point favorite. 44.5 is the over-under.
I think Tampa Bay's definitely got this. Baker needs this.
Needs to get right. You need to get right game sooner or later.
Yeah.
Okay. And I also like Tampa Bay on that one. The Atlanta Falcons are at the Jets, and Atlanta's a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under, 39.5.
Another boring game.
Yeah.
Falcons. I mean, I would probably just go with the odds here, but these are teams that just don't have anything to play for really either. So it's like,
Yeah, I can see this game being under.
Yeah.
Okay. Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts. Indianapolis is a 4.5-point favorite. They're over under 44.5. This is not an easy game for them either.
No, this one, again, if the Colts lose this, all the hype behind them is gone. Yeah. I do think the Colts have it, but what's the spread again?
4.5. No, touchdown basically.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on it, but I'd go with the Colts if I had to.
Yeah, if I had, I like Houston in this because I on the spread because I do think it's going to be very close. Okay, the LA Rams at the Carolina Panthers. Talk about no love. So it's in Carolina, Tommy, and the spread is 10.5 for LA Rams over under 45.
Yeah, I mean it's the Rams. I hate big spreads, but I do think it is the Rams.
I think the Rams are going to cover too. Here we go. Minnesota Vikings at the Seattle Seahawks.
I'll come back to it.
Okay. We'll both come back to it then.
Okay. Perfect.
The spread on that one, by the way, is -11.5 for the Hawks, over under 41. And the game Tommy's been looking forward to all week, the Las Vegas Raiders at the Los Angeles Chargers. I saw that game in Vegas. Remember Monday night game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fraud bowl.
Yeah.
They're not even frauds. Nobody thought they were.
No. 9.5 points is the spread for, of course, in favor of the Chargers, over under 41. And they got Gadsden back. They're tight end. So,
I mean, yeah, the Chargers have this. The Raiders are, I understand they're not the worst in terms of standings, but they're the worst in terms of what you see the with product, the eye test.
The product, yeah. It's a rough one. I think the Chargers will get them too. Next up, we have the Bills at Pittsburgh. I don't know what Bills team you're going to get. 3.5. I'm assuming Aaron Rodgers will be back for this one.
I think.
Because it was just a broken bone in his non-throwing wrist.
Yeah.
3.5 is the spread in favor of the Bills, over under 47.5.
I'm going to come back to this.
Come back to it. Okay. I'm not coming back to that one. So if I had to go, I'm going to go. I like the Bills on this one. I think they need a get right game. Denver Broncos at the Washington Commanders. Denver's a 6-point. Heavy on the road, over under 43.5.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'd go with the spread there. I'd pick the Broncos.
I'd pick the Broncos too, especially if Jaden Daniels is still. I mean, I know he's out. The Giants are on the road in New England. Who knows which New England team this week? Over under 46.5.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to that.
Okay. For me, I'm not coming back to that one. Boy, oh boy. On that spread, I'm going to go Giants because I think it'll be closer. That's my take. Dallas Cowboys on the road. Oh, no. That was the Monday night game, so that's it. Okay. So that being said, Tommy, what's the first one of your three that you like out of those spreads this week?
So the first one I went with was Buffalo, -3.5 over Pittsburgh. Josh Allen will have a bad game, and then he'll bounce back with a crazy good game. So I'm hoping this is one of those bounce back patterns.
I agree. I think that's going to happen. I have the Detroit and Green Bay game tomorrow morning going over 48. I'm not sure what team you're going to get, but I do think indoors, being that Detroit's an indoor stadium, they're going to go back and forth.
I agree. My next one, I do have the Giants and the Patriots going over 46.5. I couldn't tell you which team's going to win, but I do believe both will be scoring, especially, I don't know if Jameis is playing or not. I don't know if Jackson Dart's back or what the deal is.
I know he's questionable, so there's talk of it.
Obviously, I would hope Jameis is back because if he's back, you can guarantee there's just going to be tons of throwing and, scoring. So
right. Right. That's a Monday night game you got there. My next one, I like Dallas +3 against Kansas City. I think Dallas can get them. It's not my hot take, but I do think Dallas can get them. I personally think Dallas has a better team.
Okay. My last one, I have the Seattle-Minnesota game going over 41.5. Or over 41, sorry. I just feel like, again, Seahawks are going to be thumping them. I hope 9 makes an appearance from the Vikings, which is the cringiest, stupidest thing on the planet. And I hope he just throws a whole bunch of picks for us.
Yeah, right. My next one, I like Cleveland +4.5 against the Niners. I'm not saying I'm a Shadur nut. I love – Cleveland's got a tough defense, though, and I think they're going to harass the living – tar out of Brock Purdy, who threw 3 picks yesterday or Monday night.
I know.
And they were terrible throws. Terrible. That's
why it's like when you look at the game and then you actually look at like Purdy's stat line, it was like, what in the world?
Yeah, it was terrible. I'm not saying Cleveland's going to win. Let me be on record. I think the Niners will squeak this one out, but I think Cleveland will keep it within the 4.5.
Yep, that's fair.
And okay, your hot take.
Man, I didn't really have one. I would say this. Give me... give me Seattle +15 or -15.
-15. Okay, we're about the same then. I went my hot take. I bid by 20. I think Seattle's going to win by 3 touchdowns. I really do. I think they're. I think Minnesota's defense isn't terrible, but I think Minnesota's offense. I'm with you. Their quarterback is not good.
So Seattle -20.
Yep. There we go. Okay, now what do we got? We got power rankings, right?
Yes, so we will catch you guys in the next segment.
We're back with our week 13 power rankings. Trav, if you want to jump through last week's ranking for you.
Okay, here we go. Last week's rankings. I had number 15, Carolina. Number 14, Jacksonville. Number 13, Baltimore. Number 12, Chicago. Number 11, Tampa Bay. Number 10, San Francisco. Number 9, Detroit. Number 8, Green Bay. Number 7, Go Hawks. Number 6, Denver. Number 5, Buffalo. Number 4, Patriots. Number 3, Colts. Number 2, Philly. Number 1, the Rams.
So what was your, real quick, what was your number 2 again?
My number 2 was the Eagles.
Oh, that's interesting. Losers. Huh. Interesting choice. Oh. No, I didn't have them that high.
Well, I will tell you, your boy, I was watching the Sunday night game? I think, was that the one with Sherman and all those guys? Is that Sunday night?
I think so, yeah.
And boy, yeah, he picked Seattle as numero uno. I was listening to the whole spiel, and then so did... the offensive lineman guy that's on there that was with the Rams. I can't remember his name now, the big heavyset guy. Anyways, they both picked the Hawks. I'm like, oh, Tommy's in heaven.
Yeah, no, Sherman's got it right. Mm-hmm. Okay, my last week's rankings, number 15, Pittsburgh, 14, San Fran, 13, the Bears, 12, the Ravens, 11, the Jags, 10, Packers, 9, Lions, 8, Eagles, 7, Buccaneers, 6, Broncos, 5, Bills, 4, Colts, 3, New England, 2, Seattle, and 1, the Rams.
Okay. I didn't have the Seahawks that high. I knew you'd have them that high.
Yeah, and look at that. They won. My number 2 team won.
Well, your number 2 team didn't beat Tennessee either. So,
so we would have beat Cowboys too.
Okay. I'm not saying we wouldn't have, maybe. But okay, here we go. My number 15 out of the gate, I have a new entry in there. My number 15 is the Houston Texans.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't have any new entries, though. Well, I probably could have dropped my last one.
I will tell you, they're in there, but I will also tell you the one that bounced out of mine now. I have a couple of new entries, but the one that bounced out of mine is Tampa Bay is officially out of my top 15.
Oh,
and
they definitely dropped heavily on my list.
And the Carolina Panthers have also bounced out of mine.
Yeah, they never made it into mine.
Okay, they were number 15. So, okay, yeah,
no, my number 15 is the same. It is the Steelers. I think they are about as middle, much like their record's going to be.
It's going to be mine. Yeah.
So, to me, they're going to be a 9-8 team, which would make them middle of the pack. 15 out of 32 teams is pretty middle of the pack.
Yeah, I would agree. My number 14 stayed exactly where they were last week, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. My number 14 has been in the same spot, I think, for 3 weeks in a row, and that is the San Francisco 49ers. Like, even their wins just, to me, do not scream dominance. I find them very middle of the pack.
Okay, fair enough. My number 13 is new to the list. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City Chiefs. Got to put them in there.
I won't.
I know you won't, but I got to put them in there.
Frauds.
I don't think they're quite frauds. I'm not saying they're cracking the top 10, but I would put them at 13. They're back on the board. They weren't on my list last week.
They haven't been on my list in, I think, the last 2 weeks. So my number 13, again, huge drop from, let me see here. I mean, I guess it's not huge, but it's from 7 to 13.
That's a huge drop, yeah.
That would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, they're off my list. So they dropped five on mine, too. My number, you said 13? No, yeah. 12. We're at 12.
You're now. On 12.
Yeah. Number 12 is up one from the previous week, and that's the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, no, my number 12 also dropped one even with a victory. I just, they're not winning handily, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were number 11 for me last week, but they did
yeah,
drop.
Yeah, it was vanilla. It was vanilla. My number 11 is up one from the previous ranking, and that's the Chicago Bears.
That makes sense. Yep. My number 11, they've jumped up one spot. They swapped places, was the Ravens. The Ravens and Jags swapped.
There we go. Now we're into our top 10. My top 10 and my 10 just stayed exactly where they were last week, and that is the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, my number 10 jumped up three spots on my list of Chicago Bears.
Oh, you got the Bears cracking the top 10.
Yeah, 8-3. It's hard to argue it.
Number 9, I dropped these guys down down 4 from number 5 on my list last week, and that's the Buffalo Bills at number 9.
My number 9, they dropped from 8th last week, is the Philadelphia Eagles because they suck and they're frauds.
You dropped them down pretty heavy.
Well, they were at number 8 last week, so they only dropped one spot.
Yeah, well, for yours, yeah. Okay, my number 8, up 1 from the previous week, is the Green Bay Packers. Or, I'm sorry, is the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions is up 1 to number 8.
My number 8, also a drop. They were number 5 last week for me. Down to 8 is the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills, yeah. Fair enough. Number 7, down 4. Down 4 from the previous week. And I'm sorry, Tommy, about the Indianapolis Colts.
They dropped on mine, too. Not a ton, but they did drop. No, my number 7, huge jump, I believe. Yeah, from 10 to 7 would be the Packers.
Okay. Okay, yeah, there we go. Number 6 for me, up 2, is the Green Bay Packers. Yep.
And my number 6, it is a drop. Or no, wait. Is it? No. So they went up a little bit. From 9 to 6 is the Lions.
The Lions, okay. You're liking that. Now we're into the top 5. Here we go. Number 5, down 3 from number 2 for me is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Man, yeah, they're
they didn't look great. I know they didn't look great, but I still think they're a top-tier team.
My number 5, it's only a drop of 1, is the Colts. They went from 4 to 5.
You only dropped them 1, huh?
They still stayed in it against Kansas City.
Okay, all right. My number 4, up 3 notches, Seattle Seahawks at number 4.
There you go. This one was a pretty big leap here from 6 to 4 would be the Broncos.
There we go. My number 3, up 3 from the previous ranking, is the Denver Broncos.
Okay. My number 3, they're exactly where they were. My top 3 has not changed. So Patriots, number 3.
Okay, mine has changed. So my number 2 now is the Patriots. They're up 2 from previous week where they were 4. So the New England Patriots are number 2.
Okay, and then my number 2 is still the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, which means that we are both landing on the exact same page with the LA Rams, which is fair. They are the best team in football.
Yeah, no, they're about as well-rounded as it gets. I need Matthew Stafford to get injured, please.
He's a beast, absolute beast. Dude has thrown 2 picks, and the second pick was thrown on week 2.
Yeah, no, he's looking good. He just tied Tom Brady's record of touchdowns without interceptions or something like that.
It's insane for a 38-year-old, by the way.
Yeah, no, he looks great. Stafford's, I think he's a clone made of the original Stafford, much like Tom Brady did with his dog. I do believe that Matthew Stafford is a clone.
You know, with Adams and Puka and, Kyler Williams, the running back. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they're just loaded with talent. They've got it everywhere. And their defense is awesome. So yeah, they're going to be
Landman. I love Landman
and Verse, Jared Verse. I mean, they got just a good team, man. They're going to be tough.
Nope. I agree.
If they stay healthy.
Well, for all of you guys listening, this will drop same day that we're recording Wednesday. I know we didn't record yesterday. Yesterday was a busy day, but who cares? You're not my boss. So, everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Trample somebody on Black Friday, do whatever you got to do. And, we'll catch you guys next week.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.